Welcome to In Christ, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel in Lubbock, Texas, with pastor and teacher Ben Martinez.
I'm going to go beyond the how you doing, because it freaks us out, doesn't it? We'll go to the grocery store and the cashier will go, good, welcome, and you'll say, how you doing? And she'll say, fine. If she would ever to go, oh, I'm a mess, ah! We'd go, okay, I didn't mean it. I just was, it was cordial. But as believers, God is calling us to something more. He's calling us to something deeper. He's not calling us to argue with our neighbors. Oh, well, your lawn looks like this, and you just rah, rah, rah. He's not calling us to do this. He's calling us to be missionaries in our own neighborhood and to love people back to life.
Welcome to In Christ Radio, where we continue in the verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Mark. In today's lesson, we go over the theme verse from this book. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Jesus says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." After teaching this, he leaves Jericho. A large crowd surrounds him, and in the middle of all that noise sits a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, ignored by people, but not by the Savior. When Bartimaeus hears that Jesus is passing by, he cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." The crowd tries to silence him, but he only cries louder. Jesus stops, calls him, and asks the same question he asked James and John. "What do you want me to do for you?" Bartimaeus answers with simple faith, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Jesus heals him instantly, and unlike the crowd that only followed from a distance, Bartimaeus follows Jesus on the road. This passage shows the difference between spectators and disciples. The crowd watches Jesus pass by, but Bartimaeus reached out in desperate faith and followed him wholeheartedly. Many admire Jesus from the sidelines, but few respond when he calls. As we go through today's lesson, let's ask this sobering question. If Jesus walked past you today, would you simply watch with the crowd, or would you cry out in faith and follow him? Are you a disciple or just part of the crowd? Grab your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 10, verses 45 through 52 in today's lesson. Are you a disciple or part of the crowd? Here's Pastor Ben.
So Mark chapter 10 is where we're going to be this morning. And then once you find that place, go one book over to Luke chapter 19. If you are a note taker and you have your bulletin with you or you'd like to write a notes, I'm calling this message, "Are you a disciple or a crowd?" Are you a disciple or a crowd? And of course, I'll explain what it means here in just a few minutes. Are you a disciple or are you part of the crowd? The key theme of this wonderful book is actually found in today's study. It's actually chapter 10, verse 45. And it says this, "For even the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve, and give his life a ransom for many." And so we're going to dig deep a little bit in that. And so that's the whole key theme. If you put on your thinking caps, Jesus is just a little bit away from the cross. Church, listen, it can be uncomfortable for us when we're confronted by someone who's hurting or has an obvious need. It does get uncomfortable. Many of us, when we see someone who's a beggar or we see someone who's maybe, it just gets uncomfortable. But one of the things we need to remember is it only takes one person to change the life of someone who has a real need. Being a fully devoted follower of Jesus means furthering his efforts to reach and love those ignored by others. You see, our church really should be an ER for those that are broken and hurting. We don't want our church at all to be a museum for saints. We're really hoping that God would bring in the down, the outers, and it's hard because as a church we start going, we don't want that guy here. I mean, he looks scary, and we don't want them here. But that's not the whole point. The point is, it only takes one person to change a life if we'll step out in faith. Now, you know what the heartbeat of this church is. It's to love and serve people. And that's everybody outside those doors. How are we doing that? What's the grade we're getting? Oh, well, you know. See, in Mark chapter 10, actually from verses 46 to 52, the story of Jesus calling out Bartimaeus and healing him of blindness. In the passage, we see that the crowd is not receptive, not wanting to engage the blind man. But Jesus, think about this, our Jesus shifts his entire purpose to a person that they would have rather ignored. Think about that. You see, you and I, at times, we often question, does God really love me? Does Jesus love me like the Bible tells me? Am I loved by God? But you think about Bartimaeus and what Jesus does. And the Bible says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he's going to do it for Bartimaeus, he can definitely do it for us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But you got to understand, he shifted his entire purpose so that he could, what? So that he could minister to blind Bartimaeus. Now let's bring it a little bit closer to home. Whether for us it's a homeless person on the corner with a sign asking for help, or maybe it's a person with developmental disability. He's acting out in public. To be honest, the tendency is to avoid eye contact, to ignore the situation, and to get away from that person as soon as possible. That's how we are. If we're being honest in church, there might be somebody who has a real need and we'll look away and we won't do this. We won't do this. However, Jesus calls Bartimaeus to himself and he sends his followers to tell the men to come near. It's then and only then that the atmosphere changes. Well, Bartimaeus, well, he's no longer a nuisance at this time. He's welcomed. His need is not too big or too messy or too difficult to be brought to Jesus. We, church, must challenge ourselves to see beyond the outward appearance of the person. And as believers, we can respond in a way that acknowledges each person's value and their need for God. Could you imagine with me for just a moment as Spirit-filled followers of Jesus, if we took this and then took it out there and we made an impact on just whoever God puts around us, what our world would look like. If we took to heart the heart of Jesus, the heart of Christ, and said, yes, Lord, I'm going to do that in my neighborhood. I'm going to do that at my job. I'm going to do that. I'm going to go beyond. I'm going to go beyond the how you doing, because it freaks us out, doesn't it? We'll go to the grocery store and the cashier will go, good welcome. And you'll say, how you doing? And she'll say, fine. If she would ever to go, oh, I'm a mess. Ah! We'd go, okay, I didn't mean it. I just was, it was cordial. But as believers, God is calling us to something more. He's calling us to something deeper. He's not calling us to argue with our neighbors. Oh, well, your lawn looks like this, and you just, rah, rah, rah. He's not calling us to do this. He's calling us to be missionaries in our own neighborhood and to love people back to life. Today, we see in our story those who have a real need. The story is about two men. Actually, there's three, but we're only going to deal with two. The names of the men, well, the first one is Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, and the second one is Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus. Now, here's what I find interesting. Zacchaeus, Bartimaeus, how come the young people have a hard time picking names? You got two right there. We did. It's Zach. Do we have a Zach in the house? We have a Zach in the house. Yeah, we do. I knew it was Zach. See, he's Zacchaeus. His real name. No, it's not. I'm just kidding. He's like, no. The problem in our text. Look at it, guys, is the multitude, the crowd. The crowd is holding back these men from coming to Jesus. They're holding them back. Both men had real needs. One of them had a physical need. The other, well, we discover was a spiritual need. We had a physical need. And today we discover that Jesus can heal both of those. Both of those. So this morning I want to show you in these instances where the crowd actually held people back from Jesus. But first, we're going to spend some time on the key verse and bring out some application. Now, if you hadn't been here, remember where this leads us up at this point. Last week, we talked about James and John employing their mother to ask Jesus for position and promises. Can you imagine? Here are two green men going, "Mommy, Mommy, come here. Listen, we got a favor. Listen, we've been walking with Jesus for so long. We don't want to bug him. How about you? I think he likes you more anyway, Mom. Go ahead." And you got these two men. Notice what it says in verse 35. "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, 'Teacher, we want you to do for us what we ask.' And he said to them, 'What do you want me to do for you?'" This is so classic God. Because if you were part of what we do as a church, guys, is we like to read through the one-year Bible. And we actually came across this today. And I'll tell you what jumped out at the pages. Jesus, there's a crowd. There's a bunch of people around it. Jesus pulls the 12 and he tells them, "This is serious. I'm going to the cross. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be mocked. I'm going to be shamed. I'm going to be flogged. I'm going to be whipped. Then I'm going to be, and then I'm going to die. And then I'm going to resurrect." The next sentence is these guys going, "Hey, Lord, we want you to do something for us." This just blows my mind. Like, these guys didn't get it. They didn't get it. That's like me saying, "Okay, honey, we're going to the hospital and I'm bleeding out my face and I'm really going to get there and it's going to be ugly." And she's like, "You know, I really would like new curtains." "Are you serious? Where the ambulance has come?" That's, you see the irony in this? It's like, guys, what are you, he just told you he was going to die. But before you and I can admonish James and John, don't we do the same thing? The Lord will speak to us and he'll jump off the pages of scripture. And instead of obeying and saying, "Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do?" We'll go, "Oh, well, I'm going somewhere. I'm just so busy. I've got to do something. I'm just kidding. No, Lord, thank you." But what happens now is Mark actually sees, probably through Peter. Peter wasn't one of those guys that asked him for a position. So Peter's telling Mark, "Yeah, it was all these guys." Because Mark sees that their heart, it was that they wanted that special place. And it wasn't Mom. They just employed Mom to do stuff. But you know what I love more about Jesus than anything? He doesn't rebuke the guys. He doesn't put his hands over his eyes and go, "Oh, you they." He doesn't look up to heaven and go, "Lord, the people you gave me. I mean, we couldn't do better than this." He doesn't do that at all, doesn't he? You know what? He looks at him. He goes, "What do you guys want me to do? What do you want me to do?" Ah, what a great, great God. And of course, instead of going, "Lord, we're sorry, this is so selfish," they say, "Grant us that we may sit on one on your right hand and the other on your left in glory." And of course, you know the outcome from last week. But what we learned is that you and I, as believers, as fully devoted followers of Jesus, our goal is to serve and to love and to serve and to love people. And what we learned is we do that not by saying, "Lord, will you do this for me?" But we do that by saying, "What can we do for you, Lord? What can we do for you? You may not have a lot. You may not have abundant resources, but what you have, you can sacrifice if the Lord tells you, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do." You will, well, what was our takeaway? Well, if you weren't here, again, our takeaway is as we're loving and serving people, this is what it means. You ready? It means we walk with others through the most difficult times in their lives. We walk with them. It's inconvenient. It's not fun. Nobody likes to get the call at 2 o'clock in the morning. Nobody likes to, "Hey, man." It's like, "Dude, I'm sleeping. Call me when it's more convenient, man." We don't like that, but this is what we're called to do. We're called to walk with people, and you might get hurt. You might get hurt. You might go above and beyond and feel like you're a doormat for somebody. All the while, simply, they'll walk over you and leave you hurt. John 6 and 66, It said many of them, when Jesus said, listen, here's the proposition, I'm not going to feed you anymore. And again, I'm paraphrasing, but many of them walked with God no more. Oh, you're not going to feed us? Psh, we're out of here. No more Golden Corral. Well, we're leaving, Jesus. Can you imagine the heart broken by God? Just come on, Lord. They were serving me only for what they could get. Well, that's not us, church. We serve God for what we can bless him and honor him. The way people are going to see Jesus in this world is through you. How you respond, how you act. All of these things. The second thing we learned, again, it comes to the same line, is ask what we can do for God in terms of life and ministry, not asking God what he can do for us. See, we grow in spiritual maturity when we go, Lord, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? That's spiritual maturity. Our goal is to know him, think about this, and the fellowship of his sufferings. We should rejoice, but not in the suffering or the shame. Your rejoice comes in identifying with Jesus. So when you're being persecuted by family and friends and bosses and jobs and all the way around the world, it's not like, oh, woe is me. It's like, wow, I'm identifying with Christ. That's what we rejoice in. Jesus, they taught you that? They treated you this way? Oh, awesome. It's awesome. Now, moving forward, let's take a quick look. We'll jump in 42 so we get a good run and go. Mark chapter 10, 42 through 44. You can read it up there. It says, so Jesus called them together. He says, you know, the rulers in the world lord it over the people, and the officials flaunt it over the authority over them, but among you it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be a servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave to everyone else. I want you to see that really quick. So I want to hit the point and move on. If you want to be in leadership at Calvary Chapel Lubbock, you need to be a servant. You need to be a servant. You need to come in and go, where can I serve? What can I do? What can I do? It's a tough lesson to learn. I'll never forget when I was ordained as an assistant pastor at Calvary Chapel in Rio Rancho. And they said, oh, a big deal, right? I got to preach in front of the whole church. I got my certificate. I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor now. Pastor Ben. I'm going to start introducing myself. Pastor Ben, how you doing, Pastor Ben? And then he put me in charge of cleaning. Oh, I can't boast in here. Pastor Ben. You know, and it was so humbling, but it was really pointing out the point here. It's like, look, if you really want to be a great leader, be a servant. Be a servant. This is what he's saying. And we know this as a paradox. And so before we can say, wait, Jesus, what do you mean? What does this mean? Be a servant and to be first, I have to be last. Well, then he gives us the greatest example of what he's talking about. It's found in verse 45. Take a look. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. If you're a highlighter, or an underliner, this is the verse to underline because it's the key to Mark's gospel and it summarizes the whole book. How so? Well, Jesus came in chapter 1, he ministered from chapters 2 to 13, and then he died on the cross as he gave his life a ransom in chapters 14 and 16. All of Mark is summed up in this verse. One commentator writes, all my servants shall be equal. The only greatness known to it shall be the greatness of humility and devotedness to the servers of others. I like that. We're all the same. Well, yeah, but you have seen your pastor in front of your name. Doesn't mean anything. You know what it means? I got here first. That's all it means. We're all the same. And I walk in here Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday, and realize, guys, that this church does not exist without the servants in ministry. In children's ministry, in the church being clean and sound and all of that. And I sit here with just the greatest brokenness of seeing people come in for the glory of God and say, okay, I want to make this church the best church. I want to make sure it's clean. I want to make sure we have people to take care of your kids. I want to make sure that we're teaching the Bible. I want to make sure that the sound goes out. Why? Because we're not just reaching people here, guys. We're reaching people all over the United States. We have to do our best, but it's you guys. It's you guys. And sometimes you go, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. step out in faith and be a part of that. You'll grow when you serve with people. But I want to share something with you as we look at this, because I want you to see something about ministry. Ministry is done, you ready, out of love for others. Not the love of ministry, but for the love of others that motivates us. You go, Pastor, explain what you're saying. There are pastors who love to teach the Bible, but they don't love the people. Great, eloquent, polished pastors, but they're not shepherds. The pastor who loves to teach but doesn't love the people benefits himself. You go, how so? Well, he walks off the pulpit, he grabs his Bible, and then many of them are like, that was so good, Pastor, that was so good. That was amazing. You think so?
Yeah.
But really, the pastor who loves the people and teaches understands what Jesus is saying. And I tell my guys, you don't love teaching, you love the people you're teaching to. Week after week, I'll sit in my office and say, God, what do you want? What do you want to speak to them? What do they need? Because you can listen to Mark chapter 10 and you could get several different just teachings on it. But for us, what do we need? What do we need? Many people in ministry, they go into ministry for what they can get out of it. They love the pats on the back. They love the attaboys. Great job. But ministry done like Jesus is described in the opposite. Why? Because Jesus came to serve and be the greatest example of servanthood. Aren't you glad you're not Jesus? Because halfway you would have went, wait a minute, boys, don't you know who I am? I came to serve, but you need to learn already because you should be serving. And that's not, he just keeps on. He's getting close to the cross. He says, guys, I'm still here to serve. Ministry, guys, is not taught. Ministry is caught. And when you see somebody doing it, it motivates you. Man, wow, wow. Wow. One last thought on this, and then we'll move on. It says that he gave his life a ransom for many. It, not just for the few or the elect. It says he uses the word many. As many who will respond to the gospel can be saved. As many. You go, well, yeah, but people don't, they won't respond. You're just a messenger. You just tell them. You just share the good news. Let the Holy Spirit do, but be responsible to share the message. And then you go, well, I've got Uncle so-and-so who won't come to the Lord no matter how many times. That's on him. You've been a good, but can I say this? Don't give up. In Christ.
That was Pastor Ben Martinez in the Servant King series, a verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Mark. As Pastor Ben reiterates time after time, the message of Mark's gospel is captured in a single verse. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Chapters 10, verse 45. Chapter by chapter, the book unfolds the dual focus of Christ's life, service and sacrifice. Mark portrays Jesus as a servant on the move, instantly responsive to the will of the Father. By preaching, teaching, and healing, he ministers to the needs of others, even to the point of death. After the resurrection, he commissions his followers to continue his work in his power, servants following in the steps of the perfect servant. As we walk through this gospel together, may we be challenged to follow Jesus with boldness, serve with humility, and proclaim the good news with passion. So join us next time as we continue in the Gospel of Mark.
Hey guys, Pastor Ben here. Our vision at Calvary Chapel Lubbock is we want to be a place that continually feeds and shepherds the people of God. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to In Christ Radio, and I'm praying that you were blessed and well-fed by our radio ministry, and by God's grace, this becomes one of those things that continues to build up your faith, encourages your walk with God, as well as fuel your love for Jesus. Would you consider partnering with us financially? It's actually really simple. You could either do it online at inchristradio.com, simply hit the donate button. If sending a check is more comfortable for you, you can drop one in the mail at In Christ Radio, 4218 Boston Avenue, Lubbock, Texas, 79413. I'm praying that you would fall more deeply in love with Jesus. God bless.
If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life. In Christ, I have His righteousness. In Christ, I have what I